We have now the participation of Dr. Jaime del Sagrado Corazón Morales.
He is a doctor working with indigenous campesinos in Mexico. He's working in research and in consulting. He's worked in Holland, Spain, Brazil, Cuba, Guatemala, Chile, Argentina, and Colombia. The title of his talk, The Dialogue of Knowledges, Dr. Morales. Good morning to all. I want to begin by thanking with my deep appreciation for this invitation. Last year I had to send a video. I couldn't be here, and I'm very happy to be here. This is a great honor to be here present with all of you. I'm going to leave some books here so that if people want to go into more depth with this, I'm leaving them with the coordinator of this table, and they'll be available to you. The title of my talk has to do with an experience that I've gone through as an agronomist and a researcher and a professor and a farmer. I'm also a small agroecological farmer. So it makes me think more from soil and from sweat and also from the academy. I want to recognize the talks of Vandermeer and Perfecto yesterday. They have blazed a trail or really pioneered a lot of the concepts that we're using. The idea of the dialogue of knowledges or dialogue of ways of knowing, this comes from the dialogue concept of Paulo Freire from Liberation Theology. And I'm leaning on authors who have talked about the difference between wisdom and knowledge and has fed this idea, this trend of the dialogue of knowledges. So we're not just thinking about constructing science, we're thinking about social construction of knowledge from investigative action participation, from action research, using agroecological concepts like those elaborated by Drs. Vandermeer and Perfecto. I can't talk about agroecology without mentioning my maestro from Chapingo, who has talked about campesina science for 50 years. And he talked about la ciencia de Huarache, the science of Huarache, and technology of agriculture that's based in traditions. What kind of agriculture do we have in Mexico? We have a field of agriculture that's in a profound crisis, affected by poverty, by displacement and eviction of people. As people talked about yesterday from the Caracoles, a hell. There is a profound crisis in the Mexican countryside. Agriculture in the communities agriculture in the communities is tied to the culture and the livelihoods of the communities. The agricultural activities are tied to forestry, to animal production. So when I say agriculture, I mean animal, forestry, crops. The systems in rural areas, the production systems are broken. The systems, the indigenous, the small campesino systems, the traditional systems are broken. Family agriculture, community agriculture have been damaged. Agriculture in this country has been a major part of our economic and cultural life. In Mesoamerica, we're in a center of origin of cultivated plants and maize in particular. So, if we're going to answer the call to talk about the muro, the wall, and science in front of the wall, we are confronting a wall of neoliberal industrial agriculture. All support from the state and from private sector is for industrial ecology. And this industrial agroecology, industrial plantation agriculture, has been destroying water, soil, forests, cultivation systems, health, and it produces very poor quality food. But who's behind this? Who are the guilty ones? Who is behind this model? The sciences are right there. The agrarian sciences or the agricultural sciences are intimately tied to the development of industrial agriculture, forestry, livestock production. Conventional sciences agronomy, forestry, livestock production see nature as something to be industrialized. There is no valuation of life. They're looking for maximum profit through exploitation. The main focus at the University of Chapingo is still exploitation of land and exploitation of nature. And it doesn't recognize that the nature in the countryside is a community good. It's a community asset. These sciences have in common also fragmentation, hyper-specialization. We have pathologists of plants. We have forest engineers. We have so many specializations that have nothing to do with reality and what farmers need. These sciences share among them. They share a pretense to universalize knowledge. Whatever is valid in one place is good for another. What's good for one kind of soil is good for another. So, the indigenous people, campesinos, scientification of all of the agriculture, it's putting it in the hands of people who are trained as veterinarians, as doctors, as pathologists, as soil scientists. It's not being done for farmers. The systems of rural extension in Mexico reflect this. the rural crisis that's passing right now in Mexico is a crisis of agricultural science. It's a crisis of teaching and research in agriculture. We have to ask ourselves, what kind of field, what kind of thing do we want agriculture to be? Our compañeros zapatistas told us what they want. They want a countryside where there is health, where there's food, where there's knowledge to live well and to seek a better future. That's the countryside that we want. We need agriculture that recognizes our diversity. Campesinos, indigenous, family farms. We have to defend cultural diversity and biological diversity. And we have to defend agrodiversity. That's the way that we need to do agriculture. In the countryside are the majority of the undernourished people, of malnourished people who produce the food. We need an agriculture that produces enough healthy food for everybody. We need to pursue food sovereignty, or food self-sufficiency. And we need food of high quality. We need an agriculture that can produce high quality food for all. An agriculture that respects and cares for the living world, their nature. That's soils, biodiversity, water. We need an agriculture that, in addition to recognizing all of these diversities, that joins in promoting food sovereignty. We need an agriculture that supports families and farmers. And it supports the Mexican economy and not external economies. We need an agriculture that supports the dignity of those who do agriculture and who take care of the countryside. So, for this rural world, for these agricultures, what can science do? What do we need? Because science has been part of the problem. It's been insufficient to face the crisis that we are living right now. So what kind of science do we need? We need science with conscience. Ciencias con conciencias. We need sciences that make a bet on life, that stand with life-affirming projects. We need interdisciplinary sciences, not fragmented sciences. Interdisciplinary sciences need solid disciplines. We need some of those disciplines, but we need to put them together to be complete science in order to confront the problems, the complex problems that we're facing in agriculture. So we do need new sciences that go beyond the disciplines and that participate in the dialogue of knowledges, the diálogo de saberes. So we're not looking for a knowledge. We're working from many knowledges, and we want to be part of that and contribute to them and draw from them. So socially constructing knowledge together is what we need to construct, not just science. We need to give back to science its original purpose. It's a creation to alleviate pain, to alleviate suffering, and to provide a more dignified life for people. Within these sciences, within these sciences appear a certain kind of scientific paradigm. There are hybrid sciences, there are sustainability science, but they all have something in common. They're all based in ecology. And so we have ecology and agroecology, which can serve to guide us in these endeavors. Agroecology, as Yvette mentioned yesterday, is a practice. It's a practice, a social movement, and a science. The rise of agroecology has really come from Mexico and from Latin America. It comes from the social movements. It comes from the scientific concerns and the practical concerns. Agriculture is really rooted in the pressure from social movements to respond to the problems of rural people who are farmers, who are trying to farm. So people in the field, people in the countryside, know how to plant, they know how to farm, but they are facing new limits and new impositions from outside, new conditions. It's been the social movements of a whole generation that have been telling the new generation of agronomists that they need a new science. And so the creation of this agroecology reflects the concerns and the knowledge of these movements. We have 9,000 years of agriculture. We're a center of origin of some of the major agricultural crops. We have vanilla, cacao, we have squash, we have maize, we have tomatoes. So much of these agroecologies have their base in plants with their origin in Mexico and Mexican agriculture. Agroecology, and I can't say it better than Vandermeer, ecology looks at systems and communities. Agroecology is agriculture based in agroecological principles. It uses ecological principles and it creates ecosystems modified by agriculture. So agroecology is not just an agricultural artifact. It's a product of culture. It's a product of rural cultures. This vision of not seeing just crops, but the whole agroecosystem, it changes the way of seeing things. And it is very much based in the vision of campesinos, of country people, of indigenous people. So it is not the major pretension of agroecology to be a science. It is one of the outcomes and one of the objectives of agroecology, to do agroecology science. But it really has its roots in rural lives, the knowledge of farmers, problems of farming, and the insistence of the social movements that science respond to those problems and those visions. It has a political objective. Agroecology has a political root. It is to respond to and support the agriculture of the rural majority, of the poor, of small farmers, of indigenous communities. the agriculture of the majority of rural people. This political objective does not imply that we only need politics. It is a science with a political objective. Now I'm going to make some reflections that from my experience, my practical experience. In Jalisco, with an organization, the Red of Alternative Farmers and Livestock Keepers, there are men and women farmers, there are indigenous, there are consumers, there are scientists, there are 80 farms and 80 households in 20 municipios in Jalisco. It's complicated to try to explain this. It's hard to be here talking under a roof and not out in a field. It's hard to talk about this, but we'll try it. We are based in the campesino to campesino, farmer to farmer method. It's an approach developed in experiments in Cuba. It's based in sharing between farmers and farmer to farmer extension. It's based in agroecology and popular education and uses the dialogue of knowledges as a point of departure for the work. We're an organization that is in the same spirit as the doctor that talked yesterday about autonomous organizations that are not part of government and not part of a company. And we move according to our own rhythms, our own calendar, our own place. We have a maize bank, we have a seed bank, we have our own organization, we have our own infrastructure. I'm going to give you three examples of how this dialogue of knowledges and of campesino knowledge and agroecological knowledge. We've been doing this for 10 years. Looking to rescue and strengthen maize varieties. We have groups of seed savers in communities, and we have a program to rescue a number of varieties of maize that are in danger of extinction, and we reproduce them and disseminate them. We're rescuing the varieties that are at risk, but we know what's behind these varieties. It's a knowledge of adaptation. It's a knowledge of yields. From these knowledges, we've been rescuing these seeds that the farmers tell us are in risk. How do we talk about this profound knowledge that people have over 8,000 years about this crop? And how do we put this together with this new science of agroecology? Well, that science offers us some really important contributions. It can make our seed work much more efficient, much easier. Dr. Kirsten Mercer was talking to us about her experiments. This farmer-to-farmer approach doesn't always have a clear experimental method, and sometimes people are used to choosing the seeds, just choosing the seeds of the best crops from this year. But the geneticists tell us that we should choose the seeds from the plant and look at the plant and its condition. So we want to look at the health of the plant that might also produce forage, not just a maize grain. So the pressure for selection, for genetics here, is not just in the maize grain coming from the granary. We want to look for the plant. Where, although farmers manage their parcels, they usually have a couple varieties, but in our center, we can have 35 varieties. So we produce them, and then we select seeds, and then we have these 35 varieties to be able to offer to people to put back into their fields. So participatory science allows us to work with fraternal crosses, and it allows us to have these plants, keep some from crossing, and to purposely cross others. And then to do more crosses between the ones that we want to cross based on what we found. So this is how the knowledge of farmers comes together with the scientific agroecology and genetics to help us to more efficiently choose seeds and reproduce them and distribute them. This great diversity, genetic diversity of our seeds, is one of the great responses to climate change that we can contribute. So how do we conserve these? How do we adapt them to changes? And how do we then distribute these seeds? This dialogue over time in Jalisco, talking about the milpa, the maize crop field, it is an agroecosystem. It's an ecosystem modified by people. And this includes multiple crops, not just maize. And it's been the basis for production and culture in this region for thousands of years. Understanding and explaining the diversity, the functional diversity of different plants in the milpa, what does the squash do? It has an important effect. The way that it grows, it creates shade on the soil, and it does weed control. They just shade out the weeds that would otherwise grow in the field. They also produce a gourd. They also produce food. They produce seeds that can eat. They also keep the sun from drying the soil, and they keep the rain from eroding the soil. This is what they control, evapotranspiration. That's how the agroecologists would talk about it. A covered soil evaporates less. It stays more moist. It gives more water to the crops. A fundamental component is also the beans. Beans provide nitrogen. Their root system has bacteria that, it's a leguminous plant, and there are bacteria that cohabit with their root system, and they produce nitrogen. They are nitrogen factories. And so this becomes fertilizer for the maize plants and the squash. There are these little white balls, little white spheres in the root systems of the beans. You can see it. When we come in from agroecology, what does a bean field produce? Sure, it produces beans, but it also produces the detritus. You know, it produces leaves that can be fodder for animals. Okay, am I still good with time? Okay. The bean in addition to giving us food and fodder for animals, what does it do in the soil? 700 kilos of nitrogen in the field every year are left. A ton of urea fertilizer is very expensive. And so agronomists come out and say, right, milpa, you can do a maize monocrop and then put fertilizer. But if you have the beans, you can actually have a greater yield and without the expense. So agroecology gives us the ability to do the numbers. We can have chiles, tomatoes, we can have fava beans, and the maize, and the squash. And so we need, how much is the fodder? What volume of fodder? What value does that have in money saved? How much nitrogen? How many squash seeds? The yields of all of these things in total, the ecosystem yield of this mixed cropping system is a very different measure than just measuring the maize yield from the grain. So agroecology gives us a way to actually quantify the total yield. So I can tell you, if you get 8 tons of maize in a hectare as a yield, in a milpa, you're going to have 4 of maize, 3 of squash, etc. We're able to give equivalents, and people can begin to make informed, intelligent decisions about how to mix their crops. The people in the countryside that I met, they would say, these agronomists don't know anything. And we know a lot more about these parcels, about these systems, the milpa. And there's also ungo, there's fungus in the field. And that's an important component. So they can infect crops. So what do? The agronomists want to put out a fungicide because they never taught us to understand agriculture as an ecosystem. And the fungus has a number of functions. So I became good friends with this one man. He said, listen, young engineer, I live on this fungus. I love this. My business is not the maize grain. I sell the wheat tlacoche. It's a food. 30 years later, here I am talking to young farmers, and I can talk like this farmer that talked to me. This is something that this grandfather, your grandfather in a way, taught me, that we have to understand the values of the things in the milpa. And here I am coming to the end. This is an example of dialogue of saberes. The people with whom we worked in Jalisco are farmers who have gone from a traditional agriculture to maize monoculture. They use hybrid seeds, insecticides, herbicides, etc. So this has been a work for us to go back to the diversity of traditional agriculture and to use that to inform people who are doing conventional agriculture, modern agriculture, to help them recover or reinvent agrobiodiversity. For example, you can have 8 kinds of fruit crops, 6 kinds of leguminous crops, multiple species of medicinals, of vegetables, of grains. So agriculture based in diversity can be the point of departure for us. The traditional agricultures can serve as a point of departure, not just a fixed model. This dialogue of saberes, this dialogue of knowledges, can help us to bring this about. What trees can we accommodate? Which ones work as like tamarind to fix nitrogen in the soils? Which trees can shade some of the crops that need shade? The interactions between plants and the design of patterns of plants, the architecture of plants in the field, all of that can be part of agroecology to give us a diversity of production. So I read the diversity of traditional fields and the spacing and the combinations of traditional fields and the multiple products using agroecology as well. The families with whom I work, they have a better quality of nutrition, better access, and better timing of crops for food. They have less cost of production. It's not the same if I have to buy a ton of urea or I have the same amount from the beans in my field. There is work for everybody in the family. Livestock keeping, there's cropping, there's trees. There's only work for one person in a maize monocrop field most of the time. But these mixed systems have work for everyone and better income for the entire family. There's an integrated family production. So this farmer-to-farmer formation and the teaching of young people in this kind of environment shows that you can live in a dignified way in the present, in the countryside. The dialogue of knowledges and of all of those knowledges, including agroecology science, it can provide strategies that are not in the scientific lexicon. Autonomy, the autonomy that is being built by communities here and in other places. Traditional farmers that work with us are developing and strengthening the possibilities they already have for technological autonomy, for community autonomy, so they don't need the technicos. They don't need extension. They are creating autonomy of understanding to inform their agriculture. Okay, a few points. One, dialogue of saberes, of knowledges, is a continuous process. It's dynamic. It's never going to end. Societies change. Nature changes. My professor, Steve Gleisman, is a major actor in agroecology. Agriculture is learned in conversations every year. The diálogo de saberes happens every year. It's an attitude toward life. It's a way of being, a way of thinking, a way of questioning oneself all the time in dialogue with others. How do we create the knowledge that we need to alleviate human suffering? So we need to create food, not just cash crops. The scientific practice of agroecology means coming up against the wall. We have to assume this challenge. We have to enjoy it. We have to renounce the national system of research we have to renounce the paid research, the kind of research that CONACYT demands of us, the National Research Agency. We have to take back the scientific practice of agroecology as a rebellion. In the face of conventional science, we have to take back agroecology. And we have to renounce industrial ecology. Agroecology can advance agriculture in general. The universities are increasingly including degrees in agroecology, courses in agroecology, and the social movements are increasingly including in their alternative livelihoods programs, they are entering into agricultural research, agroecological training. We have made a choice. Yes. We have decided to choose that industrial ecology is our enemy. It's a wall. It's a very high, strong wall. It tries to diminish us, to disparage us. But I have learned from what you said 20 years ago that the stature of human beings is measured by the enemy that chooses them. That is an agriculture of death. The agro system of the industrial production of agriculture is a system that is against life. But the small farmer agriculture, the agroecology that we're promoting, is a science of life, a true science of life. We have to take care of life and strengthen it and stand for it.